Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Q Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Krumheim, you guys with us. And joining us right now with a lot to discuss after a week two loss to the Falcons. That would be Elliot Shore Park. He's brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's Color Cut Clarity Carrot. And Cozy, Elliot, how are we doing today?
What's up? How you guys doing today?
What did you take from that press conference, Elliot? I'm curious. I mean, what did you glean from that? Like, what nuggets did you grab from that press conference from Coach Sirianni?
Yeah, I think the main kind of talking point or topic today was the fourth down decision. And, you know, you guys played it, so I guess I don't have to relay what was said. But my main takeaway would be I like that Nick has more conviction in his decision after a few days of looking at it. At the time, I thought it was the right decision. And I definitely think there is a place to change your mind and to, you know, say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that in retrospect. But I think that ultimately I want a head coach that has conviction in decisions he makes. And I like that he's not letting 2 days of bad publicity change his mind. So that would be my main takeaway from the press conference.
So, Elliot, I'm fine with that. I mean, like, and I actually think it looks better on him that he has conviction rather than says, I don't know if I should have done that. I'm curious where you come down on this, Elliot, because I'm confused at the strategy and the really what the idea of what they're trying to do is. Elliot, when they decide to throw the football on third down, and he described it with Joe and John this morning and today, that the Falcons really were kind of muddying up the middle. It was going to be very hard to run for the first down on third and three. Okay. So by throwing, Elliot, he's telling me that they don't want to give the football back. They want to get the first down. That's the most important thing. And they want to hold it and take the knees and win the game, right? That's what it means to me. Well, then if
I don't have that same read as you do on that.
But wait, if they get the first down, they don't give the ball back.
Right, but I don't think that their goal, like the goal on every third down is to get a first down. Like I think you're spinning this into a lack of faith in the defense. But he showed the ultimate faith in the defense by kicking that field goal.
Well, but he didn't because he gave them a buffer with three extra points. If the ultimate faith in the defense is to go for the fourth down, and if I don't get it, I trust you. He gave them the buffer with the three extra. But it didn't matter. I mean, obviously, that's sort of. But
ultimately, the decision he made on fourth was that he thought his defense would hold him out of the end zone. Right, like that was the decision he made. So I think to say now where the third down decision, I think we arrive at the same place a different way. I think that the decision to throw the ball on third down was the wrong decision, and I also don't like the reasoning that he gave on the morning show. If you want to say that they're clogging the middle and there's nine guys in the box, I get that, but the Eagles have the biggest offensive line in the history of the NFL. They have a running back that they just paid, whatever the guaranteed money was, 30-plus million guaranteed. Like, sooner or later, eventually you can't let other teams completely dictate what you are going to do. They should be able to trust Saquon of that offensive line to get 3 yards in that spot, especially when you have the added benefit of killing an extra 40 seconds off the clock. So I know Saquon was open, and that way it does make it, in some ways a good play call, but I think that the decision on third down to throw the ball was the wrong decision.
Yeah, so we agree on that. I just think they have to go together. Like, if you're going to throw on third down and you really want the first down, then let's just go for it on fourth down. But they decided to go a different way, and obviously no clock ran, and then the Falcons went down and did what they did. All right, Elliot, there's another aspect of this whole thing from Monday, and there's a lot, that really has gotten very little play on our show, I think all the shows. It's been a lot on Sirianni and just debating what he did. But Elliot, the quarterback threw an interception with about 20 seconds to go, and they had a timeout there. They had a reasonable chance at a Jake Elliott field goal. The more you watched it, I saw you broke it down yesterday. What did you make of the Hurts interception?
Yeah, I don't think we're focusing enough on the Jalen Hurts interception. I understand real time being at that stadium. I was everybody watching the game. It felt like the game was over. And I think that took away some of the backlash from the interception. But they were 15 yards away, and they had just gotten 13 yards in the previous play from giving Jake Elliott a field goal attempt that I bet when he lined up for that, everybody would have confidence he was going to make. So, look, I know if Saquon doesn't drop the ball, he's not in that position. If the defense doesn't let them score, he's not in that position. But the point of having a franchise quarterback is to rescue you in those situations. And that was not even that tall of a task. I mean, they needed, what, 45 yards in 30 seconds with a timeout? That, you know, it's not like we're saying he needed to go 99 yards, no touchdowns in less than a minute. Like, that was a very manageable situation. Now, Nick said this morning, I know that, you know, Devontae got pushed off his route and that there was pressure on Jalen. But my read on that one watching the play is Jesse Bates was intercepting that ball. Jesse Bates was single high. He ended up getting over there. I think even with a perfect throw, Jesse Bates is getting over there. He's one of the best safeties in the league. He's been doing it for years. So I thought it was a poor decision by Jalen to throw that ball.
Elliot Shore Parks joining us here as we talk about the Eagles' loss to the Falcons on Monday. Elliot, we were debating today whether or not we've lowered or changed or adjusted our expectations for the team after watching the first 2 weeks. And it's not just about having a 1-1 record. A lot of teams do. That it's just two games. But just the way they've looked, have you adjusted what you think of the team?
Yeah, so I think it's hard not to. I think that there's definitely a part of me that was there, you know, at training camp all year, all summer. Saw how good they looked, saw how good Jalen looked, saw, you know, what these weapons can do, that you want to believe in that, right? You want to see the month-long sample size. But the reality might be that we all have to accept that over the past 10 games, the Eagles have won fewer games than the Giants. And I know you can say last year doesn't matter and all. There should never be a 10-game sample size where the Eagles lose more games than the Giants do. So it is just, as much as there is talent on this team and as much as I do think there is a world where you can view them as Super Bowl contenders, I think we all might be in a little bit of denial about where this team is actually at.
Ellie, wait a minute. Hold up, Ellie. What you saying?
What you mean? Saying they're not that good.
What you saying, Ellie? Are you telling me I need to change my trip to Louisiana?
Well, look, trust me. There's nothing I want to do more than go to New Orleans with you and enjoy that week. So I wish that's still where it was. But I think it's hard to point to a team that is 2-7 in their last 9 and now act like they're going to go out and win, you know, 13 of 17 games or whatever it would take to get to the Super Bowl. It's been a really, really long time since they have played clean football. It's been almost a calendar year since that win over the Dolphins, which is probably their last like full game great performance.
You know what?
It was a really good win too, but it's a long time.
You know what, Elliot? I like you. I like you a lot.
Curious where this is going, yeah.
And I'm not going to hold what you just said against you. I'm going to take it like a grown man, and I'm understand. I'm not. I don't like it. I don't like it. But I hear you.
Well, I hear you. A lot of people didn't like when you were saying to be worried about the Falcons all day.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm giving you grace.
It's not always
about what I want to hear. But
exactly.
That don't sit well with me, though.
Yeah, people said the truth sometimes is hard to handle.
It ain't the truth. It's the speculation.
Speculation.
It's an opinion.
They've stunk for 11 months.
It's an opinion.
Yeah, all right. But it's a pretty good opinion by Elliot. All right, Elliot, as we look at this thing, the press conference there, Elliot, started with something, and then it got more towards Sirianni and fourth down things. But it was about the Georgia kids. Elliot, how much longer into their careers until we start to wonder here if Howie Roseman was duped a little bit? Elliot, I've wondered for a little while if they had, you know, 10 defensive NFL players on the same field at once and it made them all look better than maybe they are, because it's another week where there's just no production from these guys.
Yeah, I think that when you talk about the defensive line, the conversation has to start with Howie Roseman. If you look along that line, right now, it is miss after miss. Bryce Huff doesn't look like he's going to be an impact player as a free agent signing. Jordan Davis hasn't turned into an impact player in multiple years. Jalen Carter, who, by the way, I think has outstanding talent, can be an impact player in the NFL. It was disappointing to see that after an offseason of talking about wanting to be a leader, wanting to take over for what Fletcher Cox has built, wanting to, you know, and he was acting like it. Like, I was around him. You could tell he seemed committed to this. To then get benched for the first game of a big game because you're late to a team activity. Like, that is a bad look for the leadership of Jalen Carter. And then Josh Sweat, who has played good football for the Eagles, has not been an impact player for a while, and in some ways is only here because he took a pay cut, right? So if you look at this defensive line, a position that Howie Roseman has done such a good job with over the years, it is looking like 2 years of misses is piling up because they're in the bottom five of every important pass rush category through five games. And it's hard to see why that will turn around.
Elliot, let's end with this. You know, the secondary on Monday night wasn't bad until it was really bad at the end when they gave up the big play and the big plays. But I am starting to wonder about the decisions on who's on the field. Cooper DeJean barely playing. I know he was slowed in training camp by an injury, and he's just working his way back. But Isaiah Rodgers, who it seemed like had won a job in camp, and then he got hurt, but he was back, and he didn't play. What do you make of that, and do you think we're going to start seeing some different people on the field as the weeks go on?
Well, I would also highlight that Zach Bond and Nakobe Dean didn't have great games, and Devin White was a healthy scratch. So when they brought Vic Fangio in, it was because he has, you know, close to 30 years of experience in the NFL of producing high-level defenses. He has the track record to back up the power that they have given him. But if you're going to be the sole decision maker and you are going to make decisions that are, you know, potentially out of the ordinary, right, not playing the second-round pick, not playing the linebacker that they paid early in free agency, not playing the $34 million edge rusher, a starter amount of snaps, then you have to be right. Like, if you want to make those decisions, then you have to be right. And the linebackers didn't play well. The pass rush has been terrible. And Avante got cooked week one. So, you know, eventually the results have to start showing up. And I think that right now, you know, in terms of making those decisions, Vic has earned the right to make them. But the early results have not been great.
They have not. Elliot, we appreciate it. It's going to be an interesting week. And it should be, a different one than we expected, but an important one Sunday in New Orleans. Thank you, Elliot. We'll talk soon.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks. I like that. I think that was growth out of you. You didn't like what he said.
No, I mean,
but you took it in like a grown-up.
It's fair because he made some valid points, man. He made some valid points, but I just didn't want to hear him today. But it's good that we had him on because I like Elliot, that he believes what he's saying, and most times he knows what he's talking about, but I just didn't need to hear that today.
So no reasoning today?
Emotion? I mean, I am because I'm still processing.
The game was
all of
2 days
this.
Ago. No, it's totally fair. Man.
I'm still processing all of this. Man.
It takes two full days to flush these things. Yeah, we got to yell at each other for 2 days. I mean, it's the only way we get this stuff out of our system. 215-592-9494. We'll come back with more of your phone calls on all this. Kiss the Baby Week 2 edition. Who are we eliminating this week? Plus, something Devin McCourty brought up about Vic Fangio on the final drive. It got my attention after the game. I want to get Hugh's take on it. That's next. Your calls. The Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk to my friends over at FanDuel, because you know what's here. Week 3 in the NFL, and you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New to FanDuel, you get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5. But let's build a parlay for tomorrow night. Let's go with Aaron Rodgers under passing yards. Let's go with Breece Hall, anytime touchdown. And how about Ramondre Stevenson, anytime score for New England? Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more this season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you and learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Today, we're discussing if we've lowered, changed, adjusted our expectations for this Eagles team. 71% yes. That's pretty significant after just two games. Now, to be fair to the people I'm guessing are voting, we had a lot of people in the 13-14 win range. Like, the optimism was very high. So if you were there, it's very hard not to lower that after watching the first couple weeks. Now, if you were with me in the 10-win range, you can stay there if you want. You can go to 8. I mean, we're going to find out if they can fix this thing, and they need to quickly as they go to New Orleans on Sunday. All right, Hugh, I heard this yesterday. I want your take on it. So Devin McCourty was on with Mike Florio. McCourty, obviously a great player, a champion, and one of the better defenders of the league for a long time. He's retired now. But they were discussing the Eagles, and specifically the two-minute drill by Kirk Cousins, right? Mm-hmm. And if you go back and watch that one, they really kind of picked on Quinyon Mitchell on that one. They kind of took advantage of him as a rookie and maybe making some mistakes on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin McCourty had an interesting point about Vic Fangio and literally where he is during the game and how maybe if he was in a different place, it could have helped a player like Quinyon. Listen to this.
It's a shame if Philadelphia was on that sideline not preparing. All right, if we pick up this first down, game's over. If we don't pick up this first down, this is what we need to do as a defense. These are going to be our top calls when we go back out there on 2 minute. Hey, this is what we can't give up. Because you're right. I'm not sure they did that on the sideline because for Quinyon Mitchell, a young rookie to be in the NFL, he needs that. He hasn't been in many two-minute situations. He hasn't been in any two-minute situations in the NFL. And then he comes from Toledo, a smaller school. He needed someone to really tell him to go back and focus on what's necessary and what he has to do. And I don't think they were doing that. And that hurt them in that moment because it's what we continue to talk about with Philadelphia. Is this team being coached to the best of his ability? Are they getting everything out of it? And those questions will keep coming up, especially after a game like last night.
So, Hugh, that was specifically about Fangio because he sits in the booth, right? A lot of coordinators mm-hmm. are on the sideline. So, like, the coordinator's not on the sideline with the team before that drill. What do you make of that?
He had me until he said something about being out of smaller school and not being in this situation. I feel him on some of the things that he's saying. But these, most of the time, the situations that he's talking about, you practice those. I remember, and I'm coming from a perspective of playing in an era where we used to have practices. Okay, it's third and whatever, and the team is down 3 points. Like, that would be the scenario. Andy would come in and tell us what the scenario is. The ball's on the 20. They need to score a touchdown. What are we going to do? And you knew the situation. And sometimes it would be so much so the situation would be where they had crowd noise and you couldn't hear the calls. Like, we used to break that thing down. So I hear what he's saying about being on the sideline.
Did it benefit you that Jim was on the sideline?
Well, it benefited me more because we knew the scenario. Like, Jim was always on the sideline,
right?
So to your point. But I don't know, like what I'm trying to understand is what does Devin mean by having him on the sideline in a two-minute situation? Because if you're in a two-minute situation, it's going fast. It's nothing that he could say to you.
I guess he meant, like, while the Eagles had the ball on offense.
You mean to just coach him up on the sideline?
Coach him up, like, if we have to go back out there, if we don't get the first down, this is what, you know, watch for this and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I hear what he's saying about being on the sideline and being more hands-on, but that's a phone call. I mean, that's something when you don't call down from the booth.
Oh, like, so you're saying that if Fangio wanted to speak specifically to Quinyon, he can get him.
Yeah, because I'm the way that I'm understanding and the way that he's explaining it is this, that Vic Fangio is not in communication with him. Like, two things. Like, you're not going to be in two-minute situation communications with him because it's 2 minutes. They're on the field. They're going to keep the play going.
It's before
that. And that, to me, that's a phone call. You know, I mean, but I hear what he's talking about. The premise: Jim was always on the field, and if you messed up, Joe,
you heard about it.
You could hear Jim talking, and the best part was for me, the defensive end isn't doing his job, and then it's like, Devin Douglas, what the F are you doing? What? And I'd be like,
does
what?
She do anything for us?
No, I mean, I'm laughing.
This seems like a theme with your coaches.
I'm laughing. But it was certain people when you were on the sideline that you heard. Like, Jim would come to the sideline and he would, to his point, Jim would tell the defense, hey, we're fine. They're in the first 15 or whatever. We're going to be okay. They're going to get into the office and then, you know, we'll cook or whatever. He would do that. Like, there was things that he would do like that. He would coach like that. But when he said it like that in a two-minute scenario, you can make that phone call.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought. We found out in the summer that Vic was going to be in the booth calling the defense, not on the sideline. I hadn't really thought about it in terms of, like, the impact of that until McCourty said it. But it's certainly interesting. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Mark in Woodbury Heights. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going
good,
on?
Good, Mark. What's up today? What are you feeling?
It's all about what is it giving guys in this situation. And I want to make two points about the play call with the screen pass and running the ball and the defense. What's given? What's given is they got no timeouts left. The clock is your friend, right? What's not given is if you throw the football like they did, it could get intercepted, it could get dropped, it could be thrown poorly, incomplete, it could be, you know, he could catch it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is, if you run the ball, you don't have to deal with all those other scenarios. You hand the ball off. I don't care if they got 50 guys in the box. You hand the ball off, the clock runs. And then if you don't get the first down, forget about the field goal. Run it again, you don't get the first down. They got to play out of their end zone. I mean, to me, making that pass, and yes, he was open. Barkley should have called it. We, you know, over and over and over again. It just wasn't a given. We're running the ball and eating up the clock because it's your friend was a given. You know, I just think they overanalyze it.
I think so, too. And he talks about all these studies he does. I mean, the reality is this, Mark. I don't need studies to tell me that behind this offensive line, if you give Barkley two more carries, they probably get 3 yards. And if they don't,
absolutely,
like you're saying, worst case scenario, they take 45 more seconds off the clock.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you limit the Falcons considerably if you run the ball. You know, and it's – I just think they tried to be cute, Joe. And when you try to get cute, you get hurt, you know, and that's what happened. And with the defense, I agree with what Elliot Shore Park said earlier about the team and, you know, look at the last 10 games. So look at these guys on this defense. Would you guys agree that last year in the second half of the year, the defense at times played with no heart?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. They couldn't tackle. They didn't hit. They weren't physical. You have a lot of those guys are back. So, listen, if you're not going to compete and play with heart, what changed that? You know, like the inside of an athlete, man. You have it or you don't. I don't care if you got Fangio, Buddy Ryan, Bud Carson as your coordinator. You either are going to compete or you're not. And a lot of these guys last year in that pressure situation, the last 7 weeks of the season – they didn't compete on defense.
Well, they did. They fell apart. And then in the playoff game, it felt like they quit. Mark, it's a good phone call. I mean, we brought this up yesterday. I think it was about Jordan Davis in particular. How many defensive coordinators until you stop looking at the coordinator and the coach and you start saying, this is who the player is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if Vic Fangio is a great coordinator anymore. I also know what Mark said is true. A lot of these guys are the same guys from last year.
Yeah.
Carter,
I mean,
Davis.
I hear him.
Smith, they're
but
all
I,
back.
I think.
Clay.
I think, yeah, that.
Dope, by the way,
all those names.
You know what we didn't talk about the last 2 days?
What's that?
That tackle on the sideline that Darius Slay just laid and let the guy walk past him. Remember that play?
Yeah. I saw that a lot. It was a lot of people, like I said, stairwells on the back. They were on skates, roller skates.
He wants all of his teeth, Joe.
People, that's wonderful.
People were out there on roller skates.
And
was not. It was not a great effort defensively when you talk about it. Like, they, you know what they were? On a couple of those plays, they were escorts because they escorted the running back into the end zone.
That's not what you want to be.
Yeah, you're an escort. You're like, hey, you know, you just kind of like part. What they say, part the Red Sea, let him and just escort him into the end zone. Yeah.
So that's where I feel like Mark kind of contradicted himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, he kept saying the clock, it was their friend.
It is.
The clock was not their friend. They went down like with a snap of a finger. You know what's really not our friend? You know what might be the biggest enemy of this football team right now?
The defense.
Our own defense.
Then you could have went for the fourth down.
No, you go for the kill on 3rd and 3, and then your options change on 4th down. So the whole run the ball thing and kill the clock. We got to forget about it, dude. We have to forget about the clock.
Never.
We have to.
But it does. Well, one second. I know you don't think so. It does. If they have no timeouts and 50 seconds.
That's exactly the amount of time they went down the field without timeouts.
But you're missing the part that they didn't have to spike the ball because the time didn't matter. They were able to recalibrate at the line, run the next play, get 20 more chunk
yards.
They
weren't even going out of bounds. Like,
right, because they had time.
Okay, but now here's the point. Like, maybe it changes the parts of the field at which they're throwing in. That doesn't help us. We were letting them down the field regardless. So instead of just going over the middle of the field and running back to the line, they're throwing out routes out of bounds. And Slay's Olaying guys past him again. And CJ's missing tackles. Like, our defense is what killed us the most. That was our biggest enemy on that drive. Not the clock.
Well,
Forget about the freaking clock.
Right, but you give them as much help as you can give them. They stink. I mean, everyone in the city should agree right now this defense is not good.
That's
except the first call of the day that said they played well.
I know, that was ridiculous. But that's why I think Sirianni's best case scenario at that point was to make it a 6-point lead instead of a 3-point lead.
All right,
that's what I think is how we helped this defense.
Yeah, I also have a theory. I have a little theory now. The more I hear Sirianni spent a whole lot of time explaining himself today.
Because he was getting grilled.
Well, okay, but he could have said, "This is my decision, and we stick with it." Like he decided to tell us about his studies. Does anyone else wonder if Nick Sirianni is? And I wonder this in the summer if he's like extra interjecting himself into this moment because he wants to help the team win. It's the only thing he's in charge of on game day.
What do you mean by extra interjection? You mean like
So let's say the fourth down decision in the first quarter worked. They scored a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Who's getting credit for that?
I would think
Nick Sirianni. He decided to go for it on fourth down.
Oh, you mean by you talking about because of his actions or trying to tell you that he did it?
I'm just like his role has changed here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He now his big job is CEO game day guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if he makes these aggressive fourth down throw the ball decisions and they work, we're giving him credit. I wonder if it's a subconscious thing. Like, this is the only way I can affect the team is by making these calls. I wonder if it's leading them to overthink it. You said this earlier in the show. Keep it simple. But, like, this is the only way he gets credit for anything is if these things work. I wonder if he's overthinking it. Just, like, let it breathe. You don't need to interject yourself in the game.
I didn't think about it like that,
Joe. It breathe, Nick. If you win, you'll keep your job. Let this thing breathe. Let's grab one more call, and then we'll do this week's Kiss the Baby. Rob in Overbrook. What's up, Rob?
What's up, guys? You?
Yes.
Did you get your money back from that ticket?
Rob, don't do me. Don't do me like this, man.
No, listen. If you can still get your money back, get your money back, man. Buy yourself a couple of coats or something because they are not winning a Super Bowl, man.
Rob, this only the second week of the season, man. Stop it. Come on,
I told you that before the season started. This team is not well put together. I just got off the phone with the police department because I put out an APB for Bryce Huff. What's his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, I also put out one, I think Howie put out one, you know, for robbery because this guy's stealing money. I mean, the Georgia guys that Howie drafted stink, all right? It's no more the jury's out. There's no more waiting and we'll see what happens. They stink, all right? Bryce Huff stinks. You know, Vic Fangio stinks. Kellen Moore, he's never won. What's he won? And so everybody was all aflame all over the summer. They got Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio, but they kept the worst part of the equation, which was Nick Sirianni. You know, and
I don't give a shit.
It's just not built to win a Super Bowl, man. I was telling Kyle, you know, the NFL is full of head coaches who had a great first or second year. Remember Nagy took Mitch Trubisky in Chicago?
Yeah, he won Coach of the Year. Yeah, he won Coach of the Year. Yeah. Yep.
Well, where's he at now? Where's Trubisky at now? So, you know, you can't hit with that Sirianni. Well, he went to the playoffs 3 years ago. So what? What does that mean? 100 teams go to the playoff in the NFL. You know, the guy is just not a good coach. And I told you that before. I've been telling you that for years. If you remember my call.
Well, you have, Rob. Yeah, I mean, you've been pretty consistent. Rob, we appreciate it. Rob bringing the sunshine and joy to the show today, telling you to get his money back.
No, I'm not. And plus, I didn't get no tickets. I'm driving. Louisiana.
Yeah, but you planned that trip to Bucky's. That's what this is really about.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Bucky's. Like, Bucky's, that's happening. I'm going. This is going to happen, y'all.
Here's what we've realized now. Hugh is taking vacation the week of the Super Bowl. He's either going to work on vacation while we're there with him, or he's just going to New Orleans.
I'm just saying.
He's not going to be here that week.
I don't think that dog going to hunt taking vacation during Super Bowl week.
Well, not if the Eagles are playing. Yeah. But if it's Lions, Chiefs.
I can't do that. It got to be more fun with the crew.
All right, guys. Before we go any further, Rob mentioned playoffs there. Well, we unveiled a segment last week called Kiss the Baby, where we try to figure out who's not going to make the playoffs week by week.
It's time to kiss the baby.
All right, so if you missed it last week, here's the concept. We go around, all three of us here, each week, and we pick a team that we are eliminating officially from the playoffs. The goal, it's like a reverse Survivor here, their goal is by the end to only have the 14 playoff teams standing and the 18 that have been eliminated, well, we would have eliminated them in order week by week. Now, we're going to add a little addendum to this. You have to eliminate the team before they're actually eliminated. So, for example, I took the Panthers last week, but you guys didn't. You can't save the Panthers until like they're 0-11 in week 12, and you're like, oh, yeah, now I eliminate the Panthers. You got to do it before they're actually eliminated, so that adds a little strategy to the element.
The idea is so that by the time we're in our final week of the season, there's, you know, like, what's the point of doing a segment where the three of us eliminate a team that's already eliminated from the playoffs? We know they're eliminated, right? You got to get out ahead of it. So if you fail to eliminate them before they are mathematically eliminated, they're stuck in your final playoff picture.
And we see by the end who has the most precise playoff picture. So, all right, last week I eliminated the Panthers. Hugh, you eliminated the Dolphins, which you may have.
I look like that dude.
I might be off to the worst start.
And
of the
Kyle,
three of you.
You eliminated the Vikings, who are now 2-0 with the resurgent Sam Darnold. All right. Who goes first this week?
It's Hugh this week.
Hugh,
yeah.
You're picking the board. Yep. Who are you eliminating?
I never root for anybody to get hurt. But it's obvious now that with, you know, Tua Tagovailoa being out for an extended period of time, Miami might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, you're spot on that. So who are you taking this week?
Yeah, so, but I never, like, I just want to say never rooted for injury.
Yep.
So the team that I'm picking this week to be eliminated from playoff contention is the Las Vegas Raiders.
Wow. Ooh, even after a win in Baltimore.
Like, that was a physical game for them. They're 1-1 right now. I don't think that they're going to be able to sustain the level of play that they were playing. Like, and then what was it? Somebody who had 6 sacks in that game, was that with the monster game that he had?
Thinking of Aiden Hutchinson.
Thinking about Aiden Hutchinson.
Crosby played very well, Max Crosby.
He did. Yeah, Max got after Lamar a little bit too, though. But I'm eliminating them because I think the way that they play and the style that they're going to have to play, they're not going to be able to sustain that.
Well, that was a grinded out game. Yeah, it was a good win for them. All right, so Hugh is now taking out the Dolphins and the Raiders. It's going to make the AFC fun for that to watch with Hugh here. All right, Kyle, you're up next.
Yep. All right, so I'm not going to go like total chalk here, just because I think I've found a team that may be eliminated later on in the season.
Okay,
and I think that team is the Tennessee Titans. Because I think they're in a division that's not, like, great. I'm not sure about the Colts yet. I think the Texans will win the division. But I'm looking at the Titans, and I could see them being a team that isn't mathematically eliminated till later on in the season. But let's be real. They're not making the playoffs. Will Levis looks like he stinks. And the rest of the team just has no juice. So I'm going to eliminate the Titans this week.
Well, I think that's a good one. I mean, when you have – I don't have all the numbers on this, but when a coach is saying, what the bleep are you doing to the quarterback as he walks off the field, probably not a good thing. All right, so Kyle takes out the Titans. And I'll go – I'm going to be the chalk guy. I'm going to take – you know, we talked about take the easy ones. Just run the football, run the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll eliminate the New York Giants. They're out.
That's too easy.
Well, I got the Panthers and Giants out. The only team the Giants could beat the last few years was the Commanders. They can't even beat them anymore.
Yeah,
the Giants are out. All right, so I've eliminated the Panthers and Giants. Hugh has eliminated the Dolphins and Raiders. Kyle on the Vikings and the Titans. Kiss the baby for week number 2. We'll do it again throughout the season every single Wednesday. 215-592-9494. All right, I didn't want to take the call, but his team lost too, so what is he going to say? Cowboy Jim is up. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
What have I done to deserve this?
People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. People who have faults should not criticize others who have faults.
What does that mean?
all that trash talk on Monday, I gave you guys a day to have your grief and your sadness. So now it's my time to talk. Okay, I lost to a good team. You lost to Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. What are you guys going to talk about in the next few weeks when you're 1-3? Why are we not talking about the next two losses?
Well, if we're 1-3, we're firing the coach and bringing Belichick in. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Oh, that's not going to happen. You're going to bring in either Goober or Fangio. Oh, wait, they stink. So my kiss to baby is the Eagles.
The Eagles
are not going to make the playoffs.
You know what? Shut
that's
up.
That's enough.
I mean, I mean, they might not. I don't even disagree with Jim's premise.
We're tied with the Cowboys in the division, so.
And we're all tied with the Commanders, by the way.
Oh, come on.
This division stinks. The division stinks. I mean, I think 9-8 is going to win the NFC East.
I think I saw Baldy put up the stats about the yards per carry for each team's run defense. We all stink.
Yeah, ain't no defense being played right now.
I think the best is 4.5 yards per carry allowed.
Who's
Eagles
the best?
Eagles are the worst.
The Commanders?
Might be the Giants.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this division is awful.
Yeah, but we can score.
I could be lying about that.
We can score. I'm holding to that.
It's the Commanders. So the Commanders are 4.6. Cowboys 4.9. Giants 5.3.
And what are we at?
6.4.
6.4 per yard. By the way, I am going up against Alvin Kamara in fantasy this week.
Ooh, good luck
with
that.
I'm checking out. Yeah, as Doc Rivers would call it, it's a scheduled loss for me this week. So I'm just going to take that one. Let's grab Jason, who's up on WIP. What's up, Jason?
And, man, I don't know how you're going to take my call after Cowboy Jim.
Well, Jason, I wanted to get it out of the way, and I wanted it to hang up on him. So I needed to do it before he left. Go ahead, Jason. What
are
you thinking?
The last segment really got me going. It's the reason for my call. You know, Hugh made a lot of good points about coaching these kids with fundamentals, getting them on their game. You know, people are knocking Howie Roseman. I mean, why is Vic Fangio skating through all this? I mean, he's got to be on the field. Jim Johnson is rolling in his grave right now watching this defense and this coaching staff, you know, coaching this defense. And I want to make another point, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk head coaching in the NFL. Let's talk Andy Reid. Let's talk Tomlin. Let's talk Shanahan. You put any of those men in a room with every single offensive or defensive coordinator in the league, they are the smartest men in that room. Nick Sirianni, at best, could be on Howie Roseman's analytics team as an assistant, if you ask me. I mean, Hugh, you know, Nick Sirianni, it's like dating your ex-girlfriend. You ready for this? Like, you'll get up for her, but you don't trust her. I don't trust Nick Sirianni, and frankly, I'm getting tired of hearing him talk.
Well, I don't trust him either, Jason. I don't.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Jason, man, we love the phone call. We appreciate it. I don't trust the head coach. I mean, I don't even know what his philosophy is. The more he tries to talk, I wonder if he's interjected himself in the game too much. It's a lot.
Make the decision.
Yeah. And you could tell.
I have nightmares about that one.
Yeah, the other night, man. It was I understand Kyle's point when you talk about sometimes you got to do a hard pivot, but it didn't make sense because it felt like in the first half everything was kind of all over the place a little bit. So that's why I get where you're coming from, Joe. I get where you're coming from. And he's like, well, if you're gonna be aggressive, and it was so early in the game when you didn't kick that field goal. I'm like, what are you doing? Like I didn't understand that. There is not a game that has been played that I've been a part of where if you get that close to scoring, you always take the points, man.
Well, and if you're gonna but you don't have AJ Brown. Like, it's one thing if you have your best player on the field. It's like, all right, we're gonna throw it up to him. He's gonna make a play. You don't have AJ Brown. It changes things. And again, back to the press conference an hour ago, I don't care what the 2021 Texans did. I mean, like, it's irrelevant. Like, I understand he's going to factor in all the information he could get with his studies, whatever the heck that means. But, like, okay, take it into account. Don't tell me about it. Just make the decision and get it right. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. We'll come back, get your phone calls up, and we may have to quickly check in on a former Eagle who's just completely delusional with something he did. We can laugh at that. That's next. Midday Show. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Today, we're discussing if we've lowered, changed, adjusted our expectations for this Eagles team. 71% yes. That's pretty significant after just two games. Now, to be fair to the people I'm guessing are voting, we had a lot of people in the 13-14 win range. Like, the optimism was very high. So if you were there, it's very hard not to lower that after watching the first couple weeks. Now, if you were with me in the 10-win range, you can stay there if you want. You can go to 8. I mean, we're going to find out if they can fix this thing, and they need to quickly as they go to New Orleans on Sunday. All right, Hugh, I heard this yesterday. I want your take on it. So Devin McCourty was on with Mike Florio. McCourty, obviously a great player, a champion, and one of the better defenders of the league for a long time. He's retired now. But they were discussing the Eagles, and specifically the two-minute drill by Kirk Cousins, right? Mm-hmm. And if you go back and watch that one, they really kind of picked on Quinyon Mitchell on that one. They kind of took advantage of him as a rookie and maybe making some mistakes on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin McCourty had an interesting point about Vic Fangio and literally where he is during the game and how maybe if he was in a different place, it could have helped a player like Quinyon. Listen to this.
It's a shame if Philadelphia was on that sideline not preparing. All right, if we pick up this first down, game's over. If we don't pick up this first down, this is what we need to do as a defense. These are going to be our top calls when we go back out there on 2 minute. Hey, this is what we can't give up. Because you're right. I'm not sure they did that on the sideline because for Quinyon Mitchell, a young rookie to be in the NFL, he needs that. He hasn't been in many two-minute situations. He hasn't been in any two-minute situations in the NFL. And then he comes from Toledo, a smaller school. He needed someone to really tell him to go back and focus on what's necessary and what he has to do. And I don't think they were doing that. And that hurt them in that moment because it's what we continue to talk about with Philadelphia. Is this team being coached to the best of his ability? Are they getting everything out of it? And those questions will keep coming up, especially after a game like last night.
So, Hugh, that was specifically about Fangio because he sits in the booth, right? A lot of coordinators mm-hmm. are on the sideline. So, like, the coordinator's not on the sideline with the team before that drill. What do you make of that?
He had me until he said something about being at a smaller school and not being in a situation. I feel him on some of the things that he's saying. But these, most of the time, the situations that he's talking about, you practice those. I remember, and I'm coming from a perspective of playing in an era where we used to have practices. Okay, it's third and whatever, and the team is down 3 points. Like, that would be the scenario. Andy would come in and tell us what the scenario is. The ball's on the 20. They need to score a touchdown. What are we going to do? And you knew the situation. And sometimes it would be so much so the situation would be where they had crowd noise, and you couldn't hear the calls. Like, we used to break that thing down. So I hear what he's saying about being on the sideline.
Did it benefit you that Jim was on the sideline?
Well, it benefited me more because we knew the scenario. Like, Jim was always on the sideline,
right?
So to your point. But I don't know, like what I'm trying to understand is what does Devin mean by having him on the sideline in a two-minute situation? Because if you're in a two-minute situation, it's going fast. It's nothing that he could say to you.
I guess he meant, like, while the Eagles had the ball on offense.
You mean to just coach him up on the sideline?
Coach him up, like, if we have to go back out there, if we don't get the first down, this is what, you know, watch for this and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I hear what he's saying about being on the sideline and being more hands-on, but that's a phone call. I mean, that's something when you don't call down from the booth.
Oh, like, so you're saying that if Fangio wanted to speak specifically to Quinyon, he could get him.
Yeah, because the way that I'm understanding and the way that he's explaining it is this, that Vic Fangio is not in communication with him. Like, two things. Like, you're not going to be in two-minute situation communications with him because it's 2 minutes. They're on the field. They're probably going to keep the play going.
It's
before that. And that, to me, that's a phone call. You know, I mean, but I hear what he's talking about, the premise. Jim was always on the field. And if you messed up, Joe.
You heard about it?
You could hear Jim talking. Or and the best part was, for me, the defensive end isn't doing his job. And then it's like, Devin Douglas, what the F are you doing? What? And I'd be like,
does
what?
Does she do anything for us?
No, I mean, I'm laughing.
This seems like a theme with your coaches.
No, I'm laughing. But it was certain people when you were on the sideline that you heard. Like, Jim would come to the sideline and he would, to his point, Jim would tell the defense, hey, we're fine. They're in the first 15 or whatever. We're going to be okay. They're going to get into the offense and then, you know, we'll cook or whatever. He would do that. Like, there was things that he would do like that. He would coach like that. But when he said it like that in a two-minute scenario, You can make that phone call.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought. We found out in the summer that Vic was going to be in the booth calling the defense, not on the sideline. I hadn't really thought about it in terms of like the impact of that until McCourty said it. But it's certainly interesting. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Mark in Woodbury Heights. Hey, Mark.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's going
good,
on,
Mark? What's up today? What are you feeling?
It's all about what is it giving guys in this situation? And I want to make 2 points about the play call with the screen pass and running the ball and the defense. What's given? What's given is they got no timeouts left. The clock is your friend, right? What's not given is if you throw the football like they did, it could get intercepted, it could get dropped, it could be thrown poorly, incomplete, it could be, you know, he could catch it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is if you run the ball, you don't have to deal with all those other scenarios. You hand the ball off. I don't care if they got 50 guys in the box. You hand the ball off, the clock runs. And then if you don't get the first down, forget about the field goal. Run it again, you don't get the first down. They got to play out of their end zone. I mean, to me, making that pass, and yes, he was open. Barkley should have called it, over and over and over again. It just wasn't a given. We're running the ball and eating up the clock because it's your friend was a given. You know, I just think they overanalyze it.
I think so, too. And he talked about all these studies he does. I mean, the reality is this, Mark. I don't need studies to tell me that behind this offensive line, if you give Barkley two more carries, they probably get 3 yards. And if they don't,
absolutely,
like you're saying, worst case scenario, they take 45 more seconds off the clock.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you limit the Falcons considerably if you run the ball, you know. And I just think they tried to be cute, Joe. And when you try to get cute, you get hurt, you know. And that's what happened. And with the defense, I agree with what Elliott Shore Park said earlier about the team. And, you know, look at the last 10 games. So look at these guys on this defense. Would you guys agree that last year in the second half of the year, the defense at times played with no heart?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, absolutely. They couldn't tackle. They didn't hit. They weren't physical. You have a lot of those guys are back. So, listen, if you're not going to compete and play with heart, what changed that? You know, like the inside of an athlete, man. You have it or you don't. I don't care if you got Fangio, Buddy Ryan, Bud Carson as your coordinator. You either are going to compete or you're not. And a lot of these guys last year, in that pressure situation, the last 7 weeks of the season, they didn't compete on defense.
Well, they did. They fell apart. And then in the playoff game, it felt like they quit. Mark, it's a good phone call. I mean, we brought this up yesterday. I think it was about Jordan Davis in particular. How many defensive coordinators until you stop looking at the coordinator and the coach and you start saying, this is who the player is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if Vic Fangio is a great coordinator anymore. I also know what Mark said is true. A lot of these guys are the same guys from last year.
Yeah,
Carter, Davis.
I hear him.
Smith, they're
but
all back.
I think.
Clay.
Yeah, that.
By the way,
all those names.
You know what we didn't talk about the last 2 days?
What's that?
That tackle on the sideline that Darius Slay just laid and let the guy walk past him. Remember that play?
Yeah, I saw that a lot. It was a lot of people, like I said, stairwells on the back. They were on skates, roller skates.
He wants all of his teeth, Joe.
People,
that's wonderful.
People were out there on roller skates.
It was retire.
Not. It was not a great effort defensively when you talk about it. Like they. You know what they were on a couple of those plays? They were escorts because they escorted the running back into the end zone.
That's not what you want to be.
Yeah, you're an escort. You're like, hey, you know, you just kind of like part. What they say, part the Red Sea, let him and just escort him into the end zone. Yeah.
So that's where I feel like Mark kind of contradicted himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like he kept saying the clock, it was their friend.
It is.
The clock was not their friend. They went down like with a snap of a finger. You know what's really not our friend? You know what might be the biggest enemy of this football team right now?
The defense.
Our own defense.
Then you could have went for the fourth down.
No, you go for the kill on 3rd and 3, and then your options change on 4th down. So the whole run the ball thing and kill the clock, we got to forget about it, dude. We have to forget about the clock.
Never.
We have to.
But it does. Well, one second. I know you don't think so. It does. If they have no timeouts and 50 seconds.
That's exactly the amount of time they went down the field without timeouts.
But you're missing the part that they didn't have to spike the ball because the time didn't matter. They were able to recalibrate at the line, run the next play, get 20 more chunk
yards. They weren't even going out of bounds. Like,
right, because they had time.
Okay, but now here's the point. Like, maybe it changes the parts of the field in which they're throwing in. That doesn't help us. We were letting them down the field regardless. So instead of just going over the middle of the field and running back to the line, they're throwing out routes out of bounds. And Slay's Olaying guys past him again. And CJ's missing tackles. Like, our defense is what killed us the most. That was our biggest enemy on that drive. Not the clock.
Well,
Forget about the freaking clock.
Right, but you give them as much help as you can give them. They stink. I mean, everyone in the city should agree right now this defense is not good. Except the first call of the day that said they played well.
I know, that was ridiculous. But that's why I think Sirianni's best case scenario at that point was to make it a 6-point lead instead of a 3-point lead.
All right,
that's what I think is how we helped this defense.
Yeah, I also have a theory. I have a little theory now. The more I hear Sirianni spent a whole lot of time explaining himself today.
Because he was getting grilled.
Well, okay, but he could have said, "This is my decision, and we stick with it." Like he decided to tell us about his studies. Does anyone else wonder if Nick Sirianni is? And I wonder this in the summer if he's like extra interjecting himself into this moment because he wants to help the team win. It's the only thing he's in charge of on game day.
What do you mean by extra interjection? You mean like
So let's say the fourth down decision in the first quarter worked. They scored a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Who's getting credit for that?
I would think
Nick Sirianni. He decided to go for it on fourth down.
Oh, you mean by you talking about because of his actions or trying to tell you that he did it?
I'm just like his role has changed here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He now his big job is CEO game day guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if he makes these aggressive fourth down throw the ball decisions and they work, we're giving him credit. I wonder if it's a subconscious thing. Like, this is the only way I can affect the team is by making these calls. I wonder if it's leading them to overthink it. You said this earlier in the show. Keep it simple. But, like, this is the only way he gets credit for anything is if these things work. I wonder if he's overthinking it. Just, like, let it breathe. You don't need to interject yourself in the game.
I didn't think about it like that,
Let it breathe, Nick. If you win, you'll keep your job. Let this thing breathe. Let's grab one more call, and then we'll do this week's Kiss the Baby. Rob in Overbrook. What's up, Rob?
What's up, guys? You?
Yes.
Can you get your money back from that ticket?
Rob, don't do me. Don't do me like this, man.
No, listen. If you can still get your money back, get your money back, man. Buy yourself a couple of coats or something because they are not winning a Super Bowl, man.
Rob, this is only the second week of the season, man. Stop it. Come on, man.
I told you that before the season started. This team is not well put together. I just got off the phone with the police department because I put out an APB for Bryce Huff. What's his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, I also put out one. I think Howie put out one, you know, for robbery because this guy's stealing money. I mean, the Georgia guys that Howie drafted stink. All right? It's no more the jury's out. There's no more waiting and we'll see what happens. They stink, all right? Bryce Huff stinks. You know, Vic Fangio stinks. Kellen Moore, he's never won. What's he won? And so everybody was all aflame all over the summer. They got Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio, but they kept the worst part of the equation, which was Nick Sirianni. You know, and
I don't give a shit.
It's just not built to win a Super Bowl, man. I was telling Kyle, you know, the NFL is full of head coaches who had a great first or second year. Remember Nagy took Mitch Trubisky in Chicago?
Yeah, he won Coach of the Year. Yeah, he won Coach of the Year. Yeah. Yep.
Well, where's he at now? Where's Trubisky at now? So, you know, you can't hit with that Sirianni. Well, he went to the playoffs 3 years in a row. So what? What does that mean? 100 teams go to the playoff in the NFL. You know, the guy is just not a good coach. And I told you that before. I've been telling you that for years. If you remember my call.
Well, you have, Rob. Yeah, I mean, you've been pretty consistent. Rob, we appreciate it. Rob bringing the sunshine and joy to the show today, telling you to get his money back.
No,
I'm not.
And plus, I didn't get no tickets. I'm driving. Louisiana.
Yeah, but you planned that trip to Bucky's. That's what this is really about.
I'm going to Bucky's. Like, Bucky's, that's happening. I'm going. This is going to happen, y'all.
Here's what we've realized now. Hugh is taking vacation the week of the Super Bowl. He's either going to work on vacation while we're there with him, or he's just going to New Orleans.
I'm just saying.
He's not going to be here that week.
I don't think that dog going to take a vacation during Super Bowl week.
Well,
I think
not
that
if the Eagles are playing. Yeah. But if it's Lions, Chiefs.
Oh, no, I can't do that. It got to be more fun with the crew. Well, it got to be more fun with
all
the crew.
All right, guys, before we go any further, Rob mentioned playoffs there. Well, we unveiled a segment last week called Kiss the Baby, where we try to figure out who's not going to make the playoffs week by week.
It's time to kiss the baby.
All right, so if you missed it last week, here's the concept. We go around, all three of us here, each week, and we pick a team that we are eliminating officially from the playoffs. The goal, it's like a reverse Survivor here, their goal is by the end to only have the 14 playoff teams standing and the 18 that have been eliminated, well, we would have eliminated them in order week by week. Now, we're going to add a little addendum to this. You have to eliminate the team before they're actually eliminated. So, for example, I took the Panthers last week, but mm-hmm. you guys didn't. You can't save the Panthers until like they're 0-11 in week 12, and you're like, oh, yeah, now I eliminate the Panthers. You got to do it before they're actually eliminated, so that adds a little strategy to the element.
The idea is so that by the time we're in our final week of the season, there's, you know, like, what's the point of doing a segment where the three of us eliminate a team that's already eliminated from the playoffs? We know they're eliminated,
yeah, that's
right?
No,
you got to
right.
get out ahead of it. So if you fail to eliminate them before they are mathematically eliminated, they're stuck in your final playoff
wow.
picture.
And we see by the end who has the most precise playoff
yep.
picture. So, all right, last week I eliminated the Panthers. Hugh, you eliminated the Dolphins, which
yes.
you may have.
Looks like I look like that dude.
You know, I might be off to the worst start.
And
of the
Kyle,
three of
you eliminated the Vikings, who are now 2-0 with the resurgent Sam Darnold. All right. Who goes first this week?
It's Hugh this week.
Hugh,
yeah.
you're
you
pick of
last.
The board.
Yep.
Who are you eliminating?
I never root for anybody to get hurt, but it's obvious now that with, you know, Tua Tagovailoa being out for an extended period of time, Miami might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, you're spot on that. So who
yeah,
are you taking this week?
Yeah, so, but I never, like, I just want to say never rooted for injury.
Yep.
So the team that I'm picking this week to be eliminated from playoff contention is the Las Vegas Raiders.
Wow. Ooh, even after a win in
even
Baltimore.
After win. Like, that was a physical game.
Like,
oh, they're 1-1 right now. I don't think that they're going to be able to sustain the level of play that they've been playing. Like, and then what was it? Somebody who had six sacks in that game, was that with the monster game that he had?
Well,
or am I thinking about somebody else?
I think you're
else?
Thinking of Aiden Hutchinson.
I am thinking about Aiden Hutchinson.
Crosby
you're right.
played very well, Max
yeah,
Crosby.
Did. Yeah, Max got after Lamar a little bit too, though. But I'm eliminating them because I think the way that they play and the style that they're going to have to play, they're not going to be able to sustain that.
Well, that
season.
Was a grinded out game. Yeah, that was a good win for them. All right, so Hugh is now taking out the Dolphins mm-hmm. and the Raiders. It's going to make the AFC fun for that to watch with Hugh here. All right, Kyle, you're up next.
Yep. All right, so I'm not going to go like total chalk here, just because I think I've found a team that may be eliminated later on in the season.
Okay,
and I think that team is the Tennessee Titans. Because I think they're in a division that's not, like, great. I'm not sure about the Colts yet. I think the Texans will win the division. But I'm looking at the Titans, and I could see them being a team that isn't mathematically eliminated till later on in the season. But let's be real. They're not making the playoffs. Will Levis looks like he stinks. And the rest of the team just has no juice. So I'm going to eliminate the Titans this week.
Well, I think that's a good one. I mean, when you have – I don't have all the numbers on this, but when a coach is saying, what the bleep are you doing to the quarterback as he walks off the field, probably not a good thing. All right, so Kyle takes out the Titans. And I'll go – I'm going to be the chalk guy. I'm going to take – you know, we talked about take the easy ones. Just run the football, run the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll eliminate the New York Giants. They're out. The
oh,
only
yeah, –
They're out. The only
that's too easy.
Well, I got the Panthers and Giants out. The only team the Giants could beat the last few years was the Commanders. They can't even beat them anymore.
Yeah,
the Giants are out. All right, so I've eliminated the Panthers and Giants. Hugh has eliminated the Dolphins and Raiders. Kyle on the Vikings and the Titans. Kiss the baby for week number two. We'll do it again throughout the season every single Wednesday. 215-592-9494. All right, we got – do I have – you know what? I didn't want to take the call, but his team lost too, so what is he going to say? Cowboy Jim is up. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
What have I done to deserve this? People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. People who have faults should not criticize others who have faults.
What is that? What does that mean?
all that trash talk on Monday, I gave you guys a day to have your grief and your sadness. So now it's my time to talk. Okay, I lost to a good team. You lost to Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. What are you guys going to talk about in the next few weeks when you're 1-3? Why are we not talking about the next two losses?
Well, if we're 1-3, we're firing the coach and bringing Belichick in. It's pretty simple.
Oh, that's not going to happen. You're going to bring in either Goober or Fangio. Oh, wait, they stink. So my kiss the baby is the Eagles.
The Eagles
are not going to make the playoffs.
You know what? Shut up.
That's enough.
I mean, I mean they might not. I don't even disagree with Jim's premise.
We're tied with the Cowboys in the division, so.
And we're all tied with the Commanders, by the way.
Oh, come on.
This division stinks. The division stinks. I mean, I think 9-8 is going to win the NFC East.
I think I saw Baldy put up the stats about their yards per carry for each team's run defense. We all stink.
Yeah, ain't no defense
being
played right now.
I think the best is like 4.5 yards per carry allowed.
Who's
Eagles
the best?
Eagles are the worst.
The Commanders?
Might be the Giants.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this division is awful.
Yeah, but we can score.
I could be lying about that.
We can score. I'm holding to that.
It's the Commanders. So the Commanders are 4.6. Cowboys 4.9. Giants 5.3.
And what are we at?
6.4.
6.4 per carry. By the way, I am going up against Alvin Kamara in fantasy this week.
Ooh, good luck
with that. I'm checking out. Yeah, as Doc Rivers would call it, it's a scheduled loss for me this week. So I'm just going to take that one. Let's grab Jason, who's up on WIP. What's up, Jason?
And, man, I don't know how you're going to take my call after Cowboy Jim.
Well, Jason, I wanted to get it out of the way, and I wanted it to hang up on him. So I needed to do it before he left. Go ahead, Jason. What are you thinking?
All right. The last segment really got me going. It's the reason for my call. You know, Hugh made a lot of good points about coaching these kids with fundamentals, getting them on their game. You know, people are knocking Howie Roseman. I mean, why is Vic Fangio skating through all this? I mean, he's got to be on the field. Jim Johnson is rolling in his grave right now watching this defense and this coaching staff, you know, coaching this defense. And I want to make another point, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk head coaching in the NFL. Let's talk Andy Reid. Let's talk Tomlin. Let's talk Shanahan. You put any of those men in a room with every single offensive or defensive coordinator in the league, they are the smartest men in that room. Nick Sirianni, at best, could be on Howie Roseman's analytics team as an assistant, if you ask me. I mean, Hugh, you know, Nick Sirianni, it's like dating your ex-girlfriend. You ready for this? Like, you'll get up for her, but you don't trust her. I don't trust Nick Sirianni, and frankly, I'm getting tired of hearing him talk.
Well, I don't trust him either, Jason. I don't.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Jason, man, we love the phone call. We appreciate it. I don't trust the head coach. I mean, I don't even know what his philosophy is. The more he tries to talk, I wonder if he's interjected himself in the game too much. It's a lot.
Make the decision.
Yeah. And you could tell.
I have nightmares about that one.
Yeah, the other night, man. It was I understand Kyle's point when you talk about sometimes you got to do a hard pivot, but it didn't make sense because it felt like in the first half everything was kind of all over the place a little bit. So that's why I get where you're coming from, Joe. I get where you're coming from. And he's like, well, if you're gonna be aggressive, and it was so early in the game when you didn't kick that field goal. I'm like, what are you doing? Like I didn't understand that. There is not a game that has been played that I've been a part of where if you get that close to scoring, you always take the points,
well,
man.
Well, and if you're gonna but you don't have AJ Brown. Like, it's one thing if you have your best player on the field. It's like, all right, we're gonna throw it up to him. He's gonna make a play. You don't have AJ Brown. It changes things. And again, back to the press conference an hour ago, I don't care what the 2021 Texans did. I mean, like, it's irrelevant. Like, I understand he's going to factor in all the information he could get with his studies, whatever the heck that means. But, like, okay, take it into account. Don't tell me about it. Just make the decision and get it right. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. We'll come back, get your phone calls up, and we may have to quickly check in on a former Eagle who's just completely delusional with something he did. We can laugh at that. That's next. Midday Show.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.